You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Bracket Magazine.
Hey, boys and girls, guys and gals, and everyone in between. This is episode 12 of The MemoCast. I am Mike.
I'm Mando, and I thought I told you to stop saying that.
Never. I will never stop saying it. This week is the episode after Comic-Con, or MondoCon, as we're calling it.
Yes. Well, MondoCon was its own separate convention at the children's park across the street. We'll get into that later.
All right. So we, obviously, it being right after Comic-Con, you guys and we have seen a bunch of footage and leaked things and trailers and all kinds of crap that apparently the parent companies of these intellectual properties do not want us to see.
Which is kind of funny, because wouldn't you want people to be excited about the product you're potentially going to put out in the near future?
Exactly. I can understand if maybe it was like, oh, this is a Comic-Con exclusive and only the people who've paid to be here get to see it. But it's never explicitly stated in any of the copyright strikes that they put out on these YouTube channels, or these Vimeo, Daily Motion. We even went to this Chinese site that, like, it was like, oh no, we don't want you to watch Superman versus Batman, sorry.
DC have China by balls. That's what we assumed is what the statement said.
Yeah, but it was written in Cantonese or something, and said that, dude, yeah, we don't want you to watch this. So
we eventually found it on the same Chinese website, just hosted by a different person, so it had to have been more recent. Mm-hmm. It was a fair amount of searching.
Yeah, it took us a while. We've been sitting here for like an hour,
roughly. Yeah,
yeah, about an hour since I got here.
We talked about some other things, but mm-hmm. That it was mostly a lot of us looking for footage. Speaking of footage, let's talk about some of the different things that we saw that we weren't supposed to see, and then talk about some of the footage that we saw that we are supposed to see.
Okay, so the first thing was the Superman versus Batman. Which...
It's Batman versus Superman.
Batman versus Superman, sorry, okay.
Sorry, Superman, you're second fiddle and everything.
Yep. We saw the big armored bat suit that Ben Affleck was wearing. And I have to say, like, everyone was like, I've heard a couple of people be like, oh yeah, the armored bat suit looks so cool. And to me, he looked like that kid from A Christmas Story who had, like, when the mom put all, like, the coat on him, and he just, like, has too much clothes on, and he falls over. That's what he looked like.
That's what's going to happen in the movie. Is she going to see him, wait, guys, wait up?
Yeah. It looked like he had like the night vision, detective vision cowl on.
That was cool. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think part of why I like that was because, it, you know, like, you see Tony Stark, he has, like, the crazy Iron Man armor in these Marvel films. And so when you, like, see Batman in a more armored, technological version of his suit, it kind of, you know, makes it seem like, oh, like, on par.
Yeah.
Granted, he doesn't have jetpacks or anything built mm-hmm. in there, but it seems more realistic.
Yeah, that he would be wearing all this crazy body armor and stuff, especially if crime in Gotham is that bad.
Yeah.
Instead of just wearing, like, wearing the spandex suit. Bullets be damned.
Speaking of which, remember that cameo Adam West did on The Simpsons, where they like, look, kids, it's Batman. That's not Batman. And then they actually talk to him, and he's like, and his best line he gives is like, I didn't need molded plastic to enhance my physique. You see this? All West.
I remember it vaguely, but it keeps getting like contaminated in my mind by Family Guy episodes with Adam West.
And he's like, why doesn't Batman dance anymore? Remember the Batusi?
The Batusi. Those little campy Batmans are actually pretty funny. Like, I remember watching a couple.
But I think it's funny that Adam West is willing to, like, poke fun at himself and how campy they were in like, other TV shows.
Yeah, he knows it. He knows it.
But I think it's just funny how he does it so well. Mm-hmm. And that Simpsons cameo was probably the best one.
Yeah.
But, so let's not get too sidetracked too early. And jump back more into footage we're supposed to see. So going back to the Batman Superman, I don't know why Superman was angry and had to, like, here's my laser vision.
Yeah, I'm a firing my laser.
He's like, you saw what happened to Zod.
Oh yeah, and by the way, there's drag races going on the street.
Street of Fontana.
Yeah, we live in the ghetto. Well, Mondo does. I live a couple towns over.
In the not ghetto.
In the not ghetto.
In Upland. It's not ghetto, though. You have an arcade.
We do. We have James Games, like, right across the street.
Also, you have a bowling alley right down the street from that. And, yeah. And a vegan eating establishment.
We do.
You have it all.
I do have it all.
You used to have Trader Joe's, and they got rid of it.
No. My Nana was so sad about that, by the way.
I was so sad about that. I'm vegan.
She was like, Michael, they closed my favorite store, Trader Joe's. And I was like, Nana, I don't know how to console you on this matter.
I mean, there's another one in Rancho, but it's not as easy to get to.
No, it's not. This is how easily we get sidetracked.
Just like, potato chips.
Yeah, potato chips, like drag races down the street. Oh, yeah, by the way, Trader Joe's. Yeah, more footage. We saw the leaked Deadpool test footage.
Yeah, which I'm not a super, super huge Deadpool fan, but I felt like this footage kind of won me over. It was really interesting. It was very well done.
Yeah, well, you could tell that the CGI was very rough.
Yeah.
Some of the bad guys, when they're driving the car, you could tell that the CGI that they did on them was kind of like,
Well, they all look the same. Like, mm-hmm. like, there's like just four copies of the same guy.
Yeah.
To save time. And then it was really cartoony at points. Mm-hmm. Like, when he's trying to take out the driver and he's like, bah, 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 yeah. bah, smashing him. And it was like, all right, you guys, this isn't Tom and Jerry.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be very, very hard to make a live action Deadpool movie and the movie would not be able to take itself seriously.
That's the point.
Yeah.
It wouldn't want to. His comic doesn't even take himself seriously. Mm-hmm. You know?
I think it would kind of have to be along lines of maybe like a Hudson Hawk kind of thing.
Yeah.
But advertised the right way. Because Hudson Hawk was a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Willis. But it was a comedy. It was definitely a comedy. And they advertised it as an action movie back in the 80s or the early 90s. I forget which.
It kind of reminds me of Last Action Hero, where it was a comedy, but they tried to advertise it as an action movie,
mm-hmm.
and nobody got it. And to this day, I feel like Last Action Hero is Arnold's best, you know, movie from his heyday.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was, is it was made too early.
Yeah,
you know, this was made before like meta humor was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like so nobody like got that all these jokes are supposed to be self-referential jabs at not just his own career, but just as the action genre as a whole. You know, like some of the stuff, like the child character, I forget what his name is, but he, like at one point, he's like riding his bike trying to say the day, and he goes, oh wait, I'm the comedic relief! As he goes up like the hill and recreates the E.T. scene
yeah.
in front of the moon. And it's like, things like that. I was like, if that movie came out like 2000 or in 3 or so or later, it would have been super well received.
Yeah, it would have won an Oscar.
Yeah, but you know, sorry, Arnie, you're a little too early. But hey, you got to be governor, so yeah. I think you kind of win in the end.
you tricked us into electing you
twice, not just once, twice.
Yeah, and we had to get Governor Moonbeam back in town. And be like, all right, hold on, remember that guy that we got rid of? Bring him back. We're sorry.
Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
I got an idea for a train. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Okay. So, yeah, Deadpool leak footage. Maybe something will come of that. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they showed it for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, just to build buzz, because now everybody's talking about it,
mm-hmm.
which is good. But so let's talk about footage we're supposed to see. We're going to go into the one where I guess we could get more out of, and that's the Simpsons Family Guy crossover footage. So it's all about, like, a 5-minute compilation of some of the scenes of the double-sized episode, because it's supposed to be an episode of Family Guy going into an episode of Futurama, just, you know, starring both casts. So it should be roughly...
An episode of Futurama?
Family Guy.
It goes all the way from, like, Family Guy to The Simpsons to Bob's Burgers to Futurama.
Well, I mean, Futurama, they are doing a Futurama-Simpsons crossover later on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that one's still in production.
Okay.
So, where this one's, like, obviously done. I think it's supposed to be the season premiere, or, like, very early on in the season.
Okay.
For Simpsons coming this fall. So, we're going to see that, I think, September-ish.
Okay.
That's why they're showing stuff now to gear people up. And
it really, I don't know, it had high points and it had like really, really low points.
There were some low points, but I feel like the high points were extremely high. Like one of the best high points was the, they did, you know, they made fun of the Family Guy call gag, which Family Guy itself has done a lot recently, but I feel like this is one of the times where I like legitimately laughed. Because he's like, we're better team than the
and then Homer saying that
he's like better than the what
better than the better than the...
He's like, I don't... What are you doing? He's like, all right, I'll do this.
We're a better team than the Air Force. And then he did this little clip of, like, World War One fighters pilots, you know, doing a dogfight. And then Peter, you know, is in the backseat with the gun.
No, Homer's backseat.
No, Homer was driving.
No, Homer was flying.
Yeah, he was flying. And no, then Peter was in the backseat.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, then... And then Peter's like, hold on, stay still. I got him in my sights. And he shoots down the plane. And then, what does he say?
Like, they both like, woo!
Yeah, and then Bob from Bob's Burgers in the back. And he goes, all right, guys.
We did it.
He's like, what is he doing here? We got to carry him because he can't stand on his own.
We can't fly on his own.
Yeah.
We tried out that guy. Look what happened. You just see Cleveland. Oh, no! And he crashes.
Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no!
Yeah, that was pretty good. One of the better ones too. Dang, I already forgot what was the one that made us laugh a lot. Well, let's talk about the ones that didn't work at all, and we'll see if it doesn't jog our memory.
The whole Stewie and Bart thing did not work at all.
Yeah,
in the slightest. Like that whole, unless at some point Stewie does the Bartman. Yeah. Like they go as far back as to be like, nobody lays a finger on my Butterfinger and like do the Bartman.
Yeah,
if they go that far back, okay, then I'll cut them some slack and be like, all right, they were willing to go that.
Yeah, but they went back to a Mo like prank phone call, which they haven't done like in 2 decades.
Yeah, and that so you know they. But the thing is, it kind of fell flat because Bart did a funny one where it was like, oh, leaky bum,
and so that one went well. Like they should have just ended it there, but then Stewie had to be like, I'm gonna do it, and then he just goes, Mo, he's like, I'm raping your sister, and I was like, what?
That's... It was like, your sister's being raped, how do you like that? And he slams it down, and it was like, guys, rape jokes aren't funny.
And even then, it was just like, what were they thinking in the writer's room? Like, were they just like, oh, it'll be so hilarious if Stewie just says your sister's getting raped, Mo, you know, it's like... Like, what was their train of thought?
It really does kind of beg that question of, like, okay, I would have loved to have been the fly on the wall in that writer's room. As they were like, okay, Stewie's going to make a rape joke and then just, like, fly into that guy's throat and choke him until he dies.
Yeah. Like another, like, they had their own, they had a King and Kodos cameo, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was right in the middle of the fighting chicken bit between Homer and Peter.
Yeah.
So they pretty much just played the entire, because obviously if you guys know the fighting chicken bit with Family Guy where the giant chicken comes and fights Peter for like half of the episode.
Yeah.
They do one of those bits with Homer and Peter fighting one another across Springfield, and they do a Kane and Kodos bit. But they almost played, like during the preview, they played almost the entire fight.
Yeah, so I'm just like, why would you do that? I mean, maybe the fight's going to go so long that they were willing to show us that much.
I would have saved it for, being in the marketing department, or even at any point, like being a suit at any point in that chain, I would have said, you know what, guys, let's save it. Let's let the audience be surprised.
Yeah, that would have been a great surprise, because now I feel like when you watch it in the actual episode, you're just not going to care.
Yeah, it's almost like you're opening your presents before Christmas.
Yeah,
and now you're not going to be surprised.
Yeah, you peeked in the closet, and now you just don't care. Mm-hmm. Now, but, okay, so this is what it was that was kind of funny, was that there was a scene in Moe's, and then there was Brian being very meta. He's like, oh, we're in Springfield, and then Sue goes, what state? And then Brian goes, I don't think we're allowed to say.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But they did do a Springfield Gorge callback.
Yeah.
Where the Kane and Kodos is spaceship. Oh,
we're going to make it. I don't think so.
Yeah. No, we're not. So I mean,
the scene in Moe's is really funny if you're paying attention to the specific dialogue, where they use Duff and Pawtucket Patriot Ale as references for the Simpsons and Family Guy.
Yeah,
where there's just like, he's like, doesn't it taste good? And he goes, no, it actually tastes like Duff, but worse. And then he goes, I like to think it takes Duff in a different direction.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, the best part, Mo has the line, like, he's like, I work for that company, that's my livelihood, your livelihood's a sham.
He pulls the Pawtucket label off and it says Duff. That was pretty funny. So I feel really mixed about it. I think I will let other people watch it and then go on Hulu and watch it later.
I might actually have to watch it live and do some live tweeting.
Maybe.
You know, I feel like that would be like the best route. That's kind of what I'm going to do personally.
Do you remember when the episode's supposed to play?
Sometime in September. They'll be pushing the date like crazy as we get closer to it. Dude. Okay, yeah. I wouldn't even worry too much about when it is. So, all right. The next thing we saw was a trailer as opposed to like a sneak peek. Mm-hmm. So this was and it was for Walking Dead season 5, and the trailer looked nuts. I believe you fell off around season 3 or something like that.
Dude, I didn't. I watched the first 2 episodes of season 1.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's as far as I've gotten to The Walking Dead. I read the entire first like compilation of the comic.
Yeah,
I got
like that big compendium, right?
Yeah, like I got a little bit into the comic. I got like right to the point where he meets Glenn for the first time in Atlanta, which is still pretty freaking early.
Okay, that's not the compendium.
Yeah, that was like way back before AMC even announced they were doing this show.
So then you saw like the first trade.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of the compendium. I'm thinking of, like, that fat...
The one that you have back there?
Oh, we have two. We have both of them. Because yeah. The first one's, like, the first 50 or 40-some issues, and the second one's, like, the next, like, 40-some. Yeah. So it's, like, the first 96 issues.
No, I saw, like, the first trade back when it was just like, oh, hey, have you heard this really cool... Like, you like zombies, right? Here's this really cool comic book that I've been reading. You can borrow the trade for, like, a day. And I read, like, the first... into it for them maybe the first time and was like, oh, that's cool. And then never thought it would become a thing.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a thing. Well, okay, so since you are only familiar with the concept but not really watching the show, what did you think of when you saw that trailer?
Okay, so the first thing I liked was Michael Cudlitz.
Yeah.
Because I loved Michael Cudlitz in Band of Brothers.
You're like, is that Moose? And I was like, no.
His name is Bull. His Bull.
But first you were like, is that Moose? And I was like, no, that's Abraham. Is it no, from Band of Brothers. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Moose was the other guy in Band of Brothers. He played Bull. He played, and he was one of my favorite characters in Band of Brothers.
Yeah. But so that was, I think that was kind of cool to see.
Mm-hmm. And then as far as what's going on, I remember a lot of people talking about Terminus, and you can see the big thing that says Terminus on the side. Yeah. And it also kind of reminded me of a very, very short-lived Sci-Fi Channel miniseries that was only played out in, like, couple minute shorts of computer still animation called After Earth.
Yeah.
And the Sci-Fi Channel, I think, way back in the day, did like play them during commercial breaks and stuff for like a month. And it got to the point where like some of the post-apocalyptic imagery and things of this trailer really reminded me of After Earth.
Okay.
It was basically about like 90% of the human population disappeared overnight. And it's like this guy that's traveling from New York to Seattle trying to find out if his family or if his family survived this apocalypse.
Yeah.
So some of the imagery that they used in this trailer really reminded me of After Earth.
Okay, that's kind of cool. No, I thought that this is from a fan of both the comic book and the TV show being a little bit behind on the comic by about 7 or 8 issues. I thought it was really cool. You know, they left us. This is the first time where season 4 was the first time they had left us on a cliffhanger for any of the seasons. Every season, like it ended, and you're like, you knew what you know, kind of where you were at that point.
Okay.
And so this was the first time where I was like, you don't know what's gonna happen. And so to see in the trailer, be like, just jump right from that final scene and kind of be like, all right, this is. If anything, they probably didn't show us anything past like the 3rd episode. I feel like they. With where they were left off, like, and how they have to, like, jump really quickly into that season premiere, they probably might have even just showed us what was, like, the first episode and a half.
Okay.
You know, because, yeah. And for those of you who, like, may not remember or who just aren't caught up, without being too spoilery, Rick and various members of the group, not everyone, but a lot of them, end up getting captured and put into like a makeshift prison at Terminus, and then that's just how it ends. Mm-hmm. So this comes back, it's like them trying to break out, and then them, you know, getting apprehended once again, and pretty much put on the chopping block, and then
yeah, you saw a guy with a circular like a table saw like chopping up bodies.
Yeah,
with the table. That's what it looked like to me.
He was doing something to mutilate bodies.
Yeah,
regardless of what kind of instrument. And so, you know, they say, we have a guy, he has the cure, we seem to get him to Washington, D.C., and I guess that somehow sways these people into being like, oh, maybe we should let you live.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're going on this field trip with these people who just tried to kill them and capture them.
Do you think they were cannibals?
Maybe. I mean, there were cannibals in the comic book, so that might be the case. I honestly feel like.
I mean, why else would they? Because they draped everyone in plastic.
Yeah.
And they were going to behead them execution style.
Yeah.
And then they had a guy, like, I think he was wearing like a shop apron.
Yeah.
Cutting up bodies at a circular saw.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like they are cannibals, but the way the cannibals worked in the comic book is differently. So maybe they're just mixing two different groups of people into one. But either way, I thought was funny is that this is the only negative part I can say about the trailer is that at one point the guy from Terminus goes like, "You don't trust us," and I was like, "No shit, Rick doesn't fucking trust you. You just tried to kill him.
Yeah,
you had him captured. Why would he trust you? If anything, I'm surprised there's only two of you and like 10 of them. Why haven't they like? I feel like if anything, not the entire group's gonna go on this trip and be like, we're gonna hold these guys here as like collateral. So if you don't hear from me or come back by this time,
yeah,
you know, I feel like that's probably the bargaining chip.
Yeah,
so it's like." If that doesn't happen, we'd be like, why wouldn't you just overpower them? But we'll see. We finally saw footage of Beth, who was the character everybody, including myself, thought was dead. And because she just disappeared at the end of one of the episodes, and you just thought, oh, she's dead.
She's gone.
She's a teenager. She's a teenage white girl in a zombie apocalypse TV show. What chance does she have?
Yeah, she was like Peter's girlfriend from Heroes. The Irish one.
She just disappeared from the timeline.
Yep.
You know what's funny is that the writers even acknowledged that was a fumble, but as far as continuity goes, she was just left in a timeline that no longer exists. So no, she doesn't exist. And I was like, that's really, really lazy writing.
Yeah, that's a cop-out. But anyways.
At least they admitted it.
Yeah. So overall, are you excited for the new season?
Yes, I am. I'm very excited.
Okay.
Speaking of things that we are excited about, and I'm surprised we were able to talk this long just based off of like seeing just footage of a couple random clips.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy comes out this week, Thursday night, Friday morning, what have you. And so far on Rotten Tomatoes, it is currently in the high 90s, which bodes really well for the franchise. Of, you know, misfit characters that a majority of people just are very unfamiliar with.
Yeah, I'm excited. Are we going to go see it on Thursday night, or do you want to wait until the weekend?
We'll figure it out. Okay. I'm probably going to end up seeing it more than one time. One with you, and then one with someone else, and then probably one with the family or something. Okay. So I'll figure out the dates, but we'll know. But we are going to see it.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely
a bad dog, definitely.
But, I'm super excited. There's a lot of positive buzz. They released that like 17-minute preview last week. My friend Peter Stoya actually got to see invited to like he won tickets to an exclusive screening of the entire movie at the IMAX like center in Santa Monica. And so he saw the entire movie except for the credits because they're not stupid.
Yeah.
Because the last time they did that off a movie, it didn't end the way they wanted to. Because they had like a press screening of Captain America, which is the movie right before the Avengers. So like not even an hour after the press screening was done, you just saw the post credits trailer for the Avengers everywhere on the internet, and it was kind of like, well, we learned from our last mistake.
Yeah, Mikey Newman, one of the writers for Gearbox, worked on Borderlands and Borderlands 2. He was at that. I think he was up here in Santa Monica watching it, and he said it was freaking amazing to go see it. So
that's what my friend said. He's like, "Dude, this is going to be great. It's a good standalone." And he said it was funny because, other than a few small references to like things happening on Earth, it could honestly even stand as a part of the whole Avengers Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh wow!
You know, which is I guess one of the, you know, in a sense, one of the few movies in that whole genre that can do that. You know. Because when you think about it, the Iron Man, like none of those really can for the most part, except maybe like Iron Man 1.
Yeah, that's gonna be separate from everything else, except for that scene at the end about the Avengers Initiative.
Yeah, because Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3, Tony Stark and Natasha are in there, like heavily. Yeah. Not so much Iron Man 3 actually, just mostly Iron Man 2. Mm-hmm. But still, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to take a musical break, and then we're going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con, MondoCon, and then Mondo versus the House of Blues. It's an all Mondo segment.
It's all Mondo segment.
It's like more Mondo for your money, because it's a great value at $3.99 a month.
$3.99!
Yeah, that's going to be the only time we say $3.99 this episode, because you got enough of it last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And,
music. Bye, guys.
The sea is foaming like a bottle of beer. The wave is coming, but I ain't got no fear. I'm waxing down so that I'll go real fast. I'm waxing down because it's really a blast. I'm going surfing because I don't like your face. I'm bailing out because I hate the race. I'm fast running, I ain't running the race. I'm going surfing, I'm going surfing. You take your card and run, I'll take my board. And when you're out of fuel, I'm still aboard. My buddies and their honeys all come along. They seem invincible as they sit alone.
It was bound to happen sooner or later. It's a sign. You see, I've known for some time why I was chosen to save you. You and I were meant to be together forever. But now our time in this world must end. But don't worry, Paul. I've prepared for what must be done. I put two bullets in my gun. One for you and one for me. Oh, darling, it'll be so beautiful.
I had a dream about you. We shared a house and your sweet tooth caught hold of me. Now misery won't set me free. I had a dream about you. Old Mother Nature showed up too, and in her rage she left me crippled, burned and bruised. Of the rules. tell me a story and make it good. An accidental author with a detrimental taste for blood. Annie's claiming violence as a feminine trait. Let's ditch compliance. We're not constrained to fate, so tonight I'll be Liberace for you. Please show me all that you can do. I'll be Liberace for you. I'll be Liberace for you. Please show me all that you can do. Let's rip the pages from this paperback. It's our story too. I'll be Liberace for you. Please show me all that you can do. Let's rip the pages from this paperback. It's our story too.
Just heard Tracks by You Blew It and Onsen. And before we get into my whole heavy detailing of my exploits at San Diego Comic-Con and the like, Mike has a story that we somehow forgot to talk about in our first half. So go ahead, Mike, take it away.
All right, so earlier these last 2 weeks, a studio known as Cobra Studios, they're the game developer, created a game and put it on Steam Greenlight. It's called Island Light. It's a zombie survival game. And it looks fucking terrible. You can go watch the trailer on Steam Greenlight. It absolutely looks fucking terrible. A few game commentators like Jim Sterling. I fucking forget who else. But Jim Sterling is the most notable, but he's obviously the one that's been tweeting about it and talking about it the most.
You just stalk Jim Sterling?
You know what? I go on Twitter and like half of my feed is just Jim Sterling's nonsense.
Yeah, you only follow like 20 people.
Hey, I'm exclusive with the amount of people that I follow, right?
Hey, just because I follow a couple hundred doesn't mean anything.
I follow 100 something.
I said a couple hundred. I follow like 750 people.
God damn, how do you even sort through all that? Well, we just saw your Twitter, and we just saw the kind of shit that the people on your Twitter post.
Yeah, I don't even know how to describe that. For lack, we saw a giant penis. It was going to be up front.
Yeah, it was literally just a giant dick. I find it medically fascinating how enormous it was.
Yeah, like I have to examine it.
Yeah. So, anyways, Cobra Studios put out a
Cobra Studios.
Yeah. They put out this game. It's absolute shite. And anybody who has posted the trailer or talked negatively about the game, even without posting any assets from the game or from Cobra Studios, has gotten a copyright strike on their YouTube channel. And this absolutely fucking blows, because this is Cobra Studios abusing the copyright infringement system that YouTube has in place in order to protect copyright or content creators from having their stuff stolen. Cobra Studios is abusing that in order to get rid of negative press about their game.
Yeah,
which sucks. And they're also going through the Steam Greenlight comment section and deleting any negative comments.
Yeah.
So anybody who posts a negative comment saying, and there was a bunch, I went on the page and I actually downvoted the game myself and left a negative comment. And I'm pretty sure if I went back and looked for my comment, it wouldn't be there anymore.
Yeah.
So essentially what's going on right now is it's really shiesty. And these guys really don't deserve to have their game put on Steam, you know, for people to buy with actual money if they're not willing to cop up.
Could they buy it with Monopoly money? Would that be okay?
Fucking, they don't even deserve to have this game given away for free. Like, that's how fucking, you know, terrible this is. I can forgive them for making a shitty game. That would be one thing. But for them to maliciously go out and review and remove all bad press about this game using, you know, shiesty methods like this,
yeah,
they don't even deserve to have their game put out there.
Understandable.
So if you have Steam, you have a Steam account, and you're on Greenlight, do everyone a favor and just fucking downvote this game into the ground. I don't want to use MemoCast as like a platform for call to arms very often.
And then that was how MemoCast ended. Episode 13 will never see the light of day.
because they're going to put a strong... You know, I don't think they can, because Racket doesn't play games like that.
No.
I think if Yoast like got an email saying, you need to take this down, he would be like, the fuck is this shit? And just
I was like,
go back to posting pictures of his dog.
Yeah. He posts a lot of pictures of his dog, actually. I was going to be like, well, you're being... I was like, nah,
it's love like, you, Jonathan. Thank you for giving us a chance.
Well, I mean, you know what? You leave Turbo and Gozer out of this.
No, they're fine-looking dogs.
They are. Speaking of dogs, I saw a really cool dog this weekend. But any more on this before I get into the cool dog?
Hey, if you have a chance, go on Steam Greenlight. Look up Island Light. It's a zombie survival game. If you must, watch the trailer. But downvote this game into the ground. These guys do not deserve to have this game even see the light of day after what they've done.
All right, then. Fuck these guys.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go into San Diego Comic-Con / MondoCon / Mondo vs. House of Blues. yeah, fun. So let's, we'll go into MondoCon first.
Okay.
So, pretty much, as far as Comic-Con goes, Saturday I wasn't able to get a badge, but Friday I was. So Saturday I went to the Aquabats fandom meetup at the Children's Park.
I saw that.
And, you know, we were playing, you know, Duck Duck Goose.
I saw your picture of your fucking totally thrashed and dirty.
Yeah, no, I like, my right knee, like, hurts because, like, it's still cut and scraped. Oh, no, and so, like, I just fell. And luckily I had a spare shirt on me, but I really couldn't do anything about the pants. But, I had a gnarly spill, and I didn't even win the game.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry.
It happens. You know what? Like, I was just bested by some, like, 17-year-old that's just really tiny and just can run fast, like Speedy Gonzalez. That
was it, like, me at 17? Like, cross-country me, or...
It was like a child when I like a teenager, like Griselda size, but just like
woo, okay. For you guys who don't know at home, we have a friend we went to high school with. Her name is Griselda, and she is the most petite little thing you've ever met. In fact, her nickname in high school was Little Girl.
Yeah, she gave it to herself.
Yeah,
and so don't think we were being patronizing. It was very like chola, you know, like a like shy girl and
happy.
And happy, smiley,
you know. Hey, little girl, what's up, fool?
Yeah, pretty much is what it was like. But no, so it was fun hanging out with, like, you know, these other cadets. But I don't know at what point this happened, but, like, other than me and, like, two or three other people that I just knew, they were all these girls were just, like, part of, like, this huge Aquabats Tumblr community called the Tumblr Bats.
Whoa, I have never even seen the Aquabats fandom on Tumblr, and I thought I had met all the fandoms.
No, they were all there, and, like, so once, like, the thing kind of started dying down of all the fun, silly games, they all just started, like, their own artwork circle. Let's just all draw on each other's art books. And I was like...
Dang.
Like, it was really... They were all, like, really young, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, it made me feel old when I, like... you know, it's like I'm talking to, like, you know, this girl. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm from San Francisco, and I go to this school, and then I'm, like, 16. I'm, like a decade older than you,
you know? Doesn't it feel weird?
Yeah. And then it's just, like I said, it's kind of, like, there was, like, this, I was asking people, are you guys going to the Glass House show in Pomona? And then the girl was like, maybe, I can't really plan that far ahead, but I just got a friend who can drive, so we'll see. And I was like...
You made you remember those days of us, yeah, like, pushing Art's car out of the parking lot in order to get it into second gear?
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, wow, man. Like, it's cool to see that they're still reaching young audiences. I love that. But it was just, at the same time, it just made me feel old.
Yeah.
And then, so I started using the hashtag MondoCon. Pretty much whatever I was doing not at Comic-Con was, like, MondoCon. So yeah. I had, like, all these made-up panels and signings of stuff that wasn't really happening. Mm-hmm. Like, the Dog in Shades panel.
That was cool. I was like, oh, you met a dog. That's awesome.
Or the, what's it called, the hippie playing the didgeridoo, you know, panel. You know, what was it, like, air guitar panel.
Those two guys. Who were those guys?
That was the drummer from You Blew It, and then the drummer from the Front Bottom. So it's kind of funny that they're drummers for bands and playing air guitar on You Blew It's van.
I saw that. Okay, so I didn't go anywhere near San Diego this weekend. I actually was taking care of my sick girlfriend all weekend. I was up here in the IE taking care of her, so I had to live vicariously through Mondo. So This is, I just saw all his pictures as I was on, like, Twitter, like, helping her down the stairs and,
yeah.
and stuff.
No, I think the best part of MondoCon was the getting kicked out of the House of Blues.
Mondo versus the House of Blues.
Yes. No, so I crowd surfed during Twin Size Mattress by the Front Bottoms. It was their last song, and I was like... And the reason why I felt like I needed to was... Even though the song is just, like, a... Like, it was, like, the main single from, like, their last record. It's not, like, a deep cut or anything. But for me, I saw this band on tour playing at the world's shittiest venue, like, ever. Like, literally played... Their first California show ever was a food court inside a strip mall in Bakersfield.
Damn, I was gonna say, what was it, the Chain Reaction?
But no, the Chain Reaction's not even that bad. No, it was just a food court in a strip mall in Bakersfield.
Damn.
And, like, literally, like, the next to the stage is, like, the Chinese food place. And it's just like you see people like taking orders like not even like 50 feet away.
Damn.
And they went from that to like playing the House of Blues in San Diego and being like this on this huge tour.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really cool to see that happen in 2 years' time. And so for me, when I knew like this was they were on their huge upward rise, is when their most recent album Town of the Hot came out, or when the single came out, and all this buzz for that song Twin Size Mattress came out. For me, it was like, this is, like, a huge momentous song. I just sort of have, like, this huge special connection with it. Mm-hmm. On top of it being a really emotional, like, song that just makes me want to yell every time I hear it.
Okay.
Also, I had, like, 60 ounces of beer beforehand.
Yeah, you were tweeting about how much alcohol can free alcohol can Mondo drink in an hour.
Yeah, it was, like, 60 ounces in 60 minutes.
Yeah.
But, no, I crowd surfed, and then I got kicked out. Like, it was funny because the security guard grabs me and is like, "All right, you're done." I was like, "Wait, I'm what?" He's like, "You're done. Come with me." I was like, "Okay, that's fine." We started walking towards like the secret hallway. You don't know what it's for.
Yeah,
but I assume it's for beating miscreants,
of which you were.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, I'm going with you. He's like, "Yeah, I know. We're heading out." I was like, "Listen, I'm not gonna fight you. I'm not gonna like try and run away. I'm not gonna try and sneak away. I'm just gonna follow you and exit peacefully. Just." Don't assault me, don't throw me anywhere, and we'll both be cool. And he goes, "Well, I'm not going to throw you or beat you up." And I was like, "Hey, cool, I'm glad to know this." You know, because the guy was fairly big.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he warms up on his bench with, like, me.
Dang.
Yeah, so he was pretty big. So I got kicked out, and he, like, asked for my ID and took down my name, and I said, "I'm not getting, like, sued or, like, a ticket or getting banned." He goes, "No, you're not getting banned or sued or taken down." I was like, "I just need it for my records," and I was like, "What records?"
He just has a private, like, room in his house where he has, like, the IDs of every person that he's ever kicked out.
Yeah. It's like his Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he just wallpapers an entire room with photocopies of IDs of people that he's kicked out.
Yeah. So I pardoned me because I still had an extra ticket because the person who's supposed to go with me bailed. I was almost, I changed my clothes because I'm all sweaty and I have to get ready for the suicide girl. So I changed and same thing was still playing and I was like, "Should I just go back in?" And right, I was about to like, "I'm going to try." I just see the security guard come back out to take care of some business and throw another guy. Like, "Nah, I'm good." You know?
Yeah.
I was like, "Man, they were throwing people out all weekend at the House of Blues Aquabats show. Someone got thrown out there too."
How do you get thrown out of an Aquabats show? Like, I almost got into a fight in the merch line of an Aquabats show once.
Yeah.
And still didn't get thrown out.
Yeah.
I mean, I got warned by security that if I kept playing tag with my ex-girlfriend, that they were going to throw me out. And I just kept playing fucking tag. They still didn't throw me out.
Yeah. You know what? Like, okay, the guy that I saw said that, like, the security threw him out and slammed him on the floor, and his sister was calling the police, because I guess they broke his glasses in the confrontation.
Oh, dang.
And, you know, so I was trying to calm him down, he was like, "Yeah, this girl was, like, drunk or high or something, and she, like, punched me in the face, and then I told her to back off, and then they thought, like, I was being confrontational and they kicked me out, blah, blah." And I felt really bad for the kid. And he didn't seem all there because he was really shaken up, so I'm not sure how much of his story was true. But, I mean, he had his broken glasses in his hand, so something happened. Definitely. And I was just like, "Man, House of Blues, San Diego getting aggressive." You know, it's like...
This is your wake-up call, House of Blues, San Diego. Get your shit together.
He's like, "What the fuck are you doing? You're like a 15-year-old in a math class. He doesn't know what he's doing."
I don't I don't. Okay, the imagery you just pulled up, that like little simile you just used. I'm not sure where it came from, but I'm going with it. Okay.
Yeah. It works.
It worked. I guess it works. All right.
We're gonna keep going. You laugh. That was the point.
Yep.
But okay, so that happened, and I was like, you know what? But I was able to get into the show I had to be at after at the same venue, like around midnight, so I guess it all worked out.
Okay.
As far as, like, more MondoCon peripheral events, we had the How to Look Handsome with Tanner Jones of You Blew It. But I also did the Nerdathon 2014 show of MC Lars, MC Frontalot, Dr. Awkward, and Schaefer the Dark Lord with a special appearance from Mega Ran. Who is the rapper Random, but when he performs his, like, special all Mega Man songs, he goes by Mega Ran.
Okay.
So he performed some of his Mega Man-based hits, one of the big ones being Splash Woman, based off of the boss from Mega Man 9.
Mm-hmm.
And that song's good. on top of there being burlesque provided by the, what is it called? Devil's Burlesque, I believe. Or Devil's Playground, something like that. Okay. They're from L.A., and so they do the Star Girls, and they do comic book fixins.
Okay.
And they're both really good. Like, in fact, those ladies were, like, just really wanted me to be a part of the show. It was really funny. Because during the first one, the first performance, like, the lady, like, had me, like, take off her glove.
Oh.
And so I tried to pull up my hand, and she's like, no. And she, like, points to, like, my face. And I was like, my mouth? And she's like, yeah. And so I try to pull it off, and then she, like, does that little, like, fresh! And, like, hits me with it. And then at one point she like has like a veil thing, and so she like puts it over my head and then puts like over her head, and then like so I'm like face front with like a beautiful face, but also, you know, the boobies.
Okay.
And she like gives me a kiss, and I was like, this is a good show.
Dang, she must have sensed that you were like a burlesque veteran.
I guess.
She must have sensed it, like, this guy, he's been to a burlesque show or two in his day.
It might have been the hair. My hair was looking pretty good that night.
Ah, you had fresh hair?
I had fresh hair.
Okay.
I had the fresh pomade looking squeezed like orange juice.
Oh, dang.
Fresh.
You got the star treatment.
Yeah, and then, so that was the first one. And then the second burlesque performance during this whole thing was equally as compelling because the Courtney Cruz came out, and she like had like her, she as a stormtrooper, she had like her little arm guards on.
Mm-hmm.
And so she comes out, and then she like has me remove the arm guard, you know, similar fashion. And I was like, you ladies just love me. I don't know. I'm not gonna come. I want to see pictures. Like, I want to see, like, because those guys taking pictures, and one guy was like, man, that guy's so lucky. But he was like the most googly looking like fucking dude in the room.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I mean, they weren't going to pick you.
Like, you fucking creeper-ass looking motherfucker.
Yeah. And then she, like, has her, like, she pulls out, like, her blaster.
Okay.
And she, like, points it at me, and she's like, and I'm like, yeah? And then she's like, she, like, nods her head, and I was like, boom, I make a motion like a shoot it, like, kind of thing. So she like puts it in front of her crotch and like shoots it, and like confetti and stuff flies out in my face. And I was like, you know what? Like, you just can't beat this kind of performance. I think I broke Mike. We might have to reboot him.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh.
Yeah, he's definitely broken. You might need to give him a second. Oh, are you god. Back? Are you recovered?
Oh my god! It was just, I just had the image in my. I like this half-naked chick holding a blaster to her crotch and just...
Right in the face.
Right in the face, right in the kisser, pow.
You know what the best part is? Is I was walking around, like, MC Lars, like, you got something in your hair. And I go, oh yeah, it's confetti from the blaster.
Yeah, it's just, you know, crotch confetti.
Yeah. But no, like, they're actually performing the Star Girls show again at the Dragonfly, I think, later this month. So I'm kind of tempted to go. But if I don't go to that, I know I am for sure going to go to their comic book vixen show, which which is next month, same place, the Dragonfly.
Okay.
And so I'm going to go to one of, if not both of them. We'll see. It depends on funds and what have you.
Yeah.
But no, I definitely approve. Like, they brought an excellent show. The ladies brought, all the MCs brought an excellent show. I feel like MC Lars and Dr. Awkward and Mega Ran were kind of like the highlights. And that's not even to like diss Frontalot or even Schaefer, but I'm more familiar with Lars.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something about Dr. Awkward where he just had, like, the best banter out of everyone.
Oh, okay.
You know, he just was telling a lot of jokes and being really funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, like I said, I love Mega Man. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that Mega Ran, like, did, like, the whole, like, Mega Man set, like, was, like, really awesome for me. Cool. So I was, like, I was juiced. And, you know, it was funny, like, at one point, MC Lars, like, he had me part of the show twice. The first part was, like, during I Generation, which was, like, my favorite MC Lars song, because it's the first MC Lars song I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
He, just saw me, like, going, like, I was killing it. Like, I was just, like, word, I was, like, boom, hitting every, like verse, every line. And so every other moment, he would hand me the mic, and he'd just have me finish, like, the verses, and I was, like, wow.
Dang, living it up.
And then during This Gigantic Robot Kills, which is a song about how Ska's not dead, he's like, okay. We need some skankers in here. We got any skankers? And I was like, me!
I can skank!
And he's like, all right, we need you up here. You're part of this. You're part of the show. You're part of the skankers. he's like, I'm ready, everybody. Give it up for the skankers. And then just during this whole song, we're just like skanking and being like dumb. And nice. It was pretty fun. But yeah, I'm actually, that was the writer's block I had, I was telling you earlier today, was the write-up for that show.
Oh, dang.
But I think now that I've talked about it, like, I think, like, I know what direction to take it and how I'm going to write so now I can finish it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that, what else did I do? I did the Aquabats show, which I talked about, which was really good. They played a lot of old songs I did not, some I expected, some I didn't.
Okay, did they play any horn songs?
Yeah, they brought Magic Chicken out.
Oh, Magic Chicken?
I've never heard that song in life. They've never played it in the 10 years I've seen them.
Didn't that one Christmas show we went to, did they not give an opportunity to hear that song?
There was an opportunity, but they didn't take it.
But because they gave it up to the audience, and the audience was like, you could hear this song, or you could hear this song.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, they need to play the first song, because they have never played that song. I've never heard them.
Yeah.
And everyone chose the second song.
Yeah.
He's like, they play that song anyways.
Yeah. They'll probably play it regardless.
Yeah.
You know, and so... Never heard Magic Chicken, and then they played My Skateboard, which I haven't heard in like 4 or 5 years. And to be honest, I didn't think I was ever going to hear it again, because with the TV show that they have out now, they've gotten a huge influx of like younger fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this younger fan base, I was like, I feel like they've been playing songs that more cater towards that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it's like they're not going to play a song about being a teenager, like. Wherein, like, you're kind of being dumped for some other guy, because, like, the under, you know, 10 under crowd just wouldn't get it.
No.
So that song's not being played again, and then they played it. They proved me wrong, and I'm more than okay with that.
Yeah.
You know? Especially because it was on Friday, it was Thursday night. It would have been better if it was Friday night, but mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I even said, it's Thursday night.
I wanted to go out.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go to no show. Even though you were at a show?
Yeah. Oh. I was being poopy pants. And I was like,
you were. Some of the texts you were sending me, I was like, man, you're in San Diego Comic Con right now. Like, come on.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we've only been talking about I'll talk about the Heroes Brew Fest, and then I'll give my Comic Con spiel. I don't care if we go over, because we're on fire.
Yeah.
Like, the sex is on fire.
That song is about, like, STDs, man.
Well, I mean, I got blasted in the face. I had to get that checked out.
You have crotch confetti now.
Yeah, 1 in 10 cases can prove to be fatal. I could be that 1 in 10. But, so, Heroes Brew Fest was actually really cool. When I got there, I had a little trouble clearing up the guest list situation, but once I got it handled, I just walked in, and then the guys were like, take 2 cups, yeah, just double fist it. And I was like, well, if you say so, I'm not going to say no.
All right. I mean, I'm not going to be a bad guest.
Yeah. And so they give you, like, the 2 4-ounce little testers,
mm-hmm.
and that's when I decided to play, how much beer can I drink in an hour, because I only had 1 hour to drink, because I got lost. Because originally I was trying to be there at 4, I got there at 4:50.
Oh.
And so I was like, all right, I have to leave at 5:50 to try and get to the House of Blues by 6:30 to mm-hmm. see you blew it. So I stayed with my time limit for the most part. I went a couple minutes over trying to leave the place, but I stopped drinking within the hour, and so, like, every time I would get to the front of the line, I'd be like, what would you like? Because usually each brewery had, like, 2 beers. I'm like, both, please. They're like, okay.
Why not?
And so I was like, I would just like, wait, get in the next line, drink, and by the time I'm done with both my cups, two, please. That's pretty much what happened at every booth that I went to for like the until I got up to 60 ounces.
Dang.
And some of those beers were strong, dude. Like, one of those beers was like 13%.
Wow.
I was like, Bado have fun.
Your texting and your tweets got a little bit like less coherent after that point.
Yeah. I saw Jasmine and Amanda.
Did you?
Yeah, they were there. I saw them at the beer fest for a little bit.
Oh, that's that they said they were gonna go.
Yeah, yeah. I posted the selfie.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, we have a couple friends that are huge nerds. They're a couple that have been together since like high school. Like they were together in high school,
and then they broke up, and then they got back together.
And they got back together recently. So yeah, they're cool gals, and I guess they were there.
Yeah, they were there, and some teacher, because even Crystal Corona commented, "Is that Miss So and So?" And I was like, "Yeah."
I like how we're just doing, like, call-outs to all these people we went to high school with.
It was like Miss Bartholomew or something like that.
I've never had her.
Whatever, but I was like, it's funny, she's like, I'm old, and I was like, well, you know what, she told me her age was like 40-something. I was like, for 40-something, you look like you're 30-something, so don't knock yourself down. And I think she was like, oh my god, I'm broken. I thought it was funny. She was definitely drunk.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. CougarCon is next week's discussion.
CougarCon.
Wow,
they love you.
You'd be surprised at how often that actually I do get hit up by the older ladies. Not that I'm against it, but actually I'm very pro that. But it's usually just I'm just not vibing.
Yeah,
you know it happens. Mm-hmm. But to talk about Comic-Con, which is you know the one subject we've kind of avoided. Yeah, but no. So I was hanging out with Steven Struble. Or Sean Steven Struble of Little Press Boy. He is the writer for that book, my favorite comic book, which has been on hiatus for over a year. It's finally coming back in October. Mm-hmm. And we were hanging out. We went to go get lunch, talk, because, you know, we're pals. And he was just filling me in on his life details. And I won't bore you with that. And I also won't share because he shares some personal stuff. But just know we were just catching up. And it was cool to see that he was doing well. Mm-hmm. And, he was like, oh, I'm going to go pick up my Lumpy Space Princess like medal that I won from the Adventure Time Conquest.
Oh, dang.
And so I was like, oh, cool, let's go do it. And he's like, oh, but we got to go meet my boss over at this other like spot. He says, it's out of our way, though, because we could just get to the medal pickup this way, but she's my boss. So yeah, we're going to go meet her out of the way and then follow. And you know what? In retrospect, I'm glad that it was like, oh, we have to meet my boss. Okay. Because when we picked up his boss and then went over there, on the way over there, we walked by the spot where the badge was on the floor.
Oh.
So had we actually taken the right way, we wouldn't have passed by it.
Wow.
So it was kind of like, sometimes the universe has a funny way of working out.
So you just found a random badge on the floor and was like, hey, I'm taking it.
Yes,
going in.
And I was Lori for the day. And it was funny because I kept trying to get my friends to do the lost badge trick and no one wanted to do it. Because like, oh, but your name doesn't look like mine. And I was like, they don't care. Mm-hmm. I was Lori. They really don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all like, yeah, they don't care. I went in and I took pictures of cosplayers, went to some of the booths, bought comics, talked to some writers. I like bored Noelle Stevenson for a little bit because I was geeking out about Against Me and Lumberjanes, and she was a sweetheart, and she was, you know, I'm glad she put up with me. Talked to people at the Boom table. Walked by the Marvel booth and all the other booths. There was a lot of stuff. I regret not buying the Raphael statue. That was only $30, but you know, you live with the decisions that you make.
Yep.
So I missed that, but I hung out with the Silver Sprocket Bicycle Club, which is like a punk rock comic book collective that also puts out shirts. And
I saw some of your pictures of that.
Yeah, we went to the Friend Zone.
Yeah, I saw that. Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Come make friends. And it was just funny. So I hung out with Ian and Avi and that whole crew, and we took hard style pics and did dumb stuff, mm-hmm. and it was fun. And then I saw April O'Neil, which was always nice.
Yeah, I saw your pictures because this is the second year in a row that you've talked to April O'Neil. Yeah. She's a sweetheart.
She's super nice. Like I even said, I was like April, and she goes, oh hi. She's all excited, and then we just started talking about like comic books and the Doctor Who porn parody and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And
is she going to be in it?
She's like calling all the shots. She wrote the story. She casted it.
Dang.
She's boss lady number one for that.
Oh dang! I didn't know about that. I remember a while back she'd been talking about like there's this thing that I can't talk about. Like she was posting about it on Tumblr.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wonder what that is. And then I never heard anything about it again.
Yeah. Well, she had made an announcement that it was happening a while back, but I didn't know how much of creative control she had until like now. And so we talked about that. We talked about like how she should read like Max Bemis's comic book and just other things and just turtles and blah blah blah. Mm. And then we took a hardstyle pick. And
I saw the hardstyle pick.
It was funny because like she retweeted it and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she's the absolute sweetheart. The few times that I've had the opportunity to like interact with her on Tumblr and stuff, she's absolutely great.
Yeah. And so that happened, and, you know, I ran into a bunch of friends, and that was pretty much it. I didn't get to see any panels, unfortunately, because I was trying to load the schedule on my phone, because I didn't have a book.
Yeah.
And it just wouldn't load.
Mm.
Reception wasn't strong enough, so I couldn't figure out where to go. And I was like, you know what? This would be the, like panels next year.
Yeah.
Because I talked to Yost, and he was just like, yeah, because Racket can only send 2 reps to Comic-Con a year, because they limited online applications because of how much... you know, peep requests they get, and he was like, yeah, you are the number 2.
Nice.
And so next year I'll, you know,
you
unless...
You and Yost.
Yeah, and I'll be like, living it up, we say, hey, what do I do? Because living it up, we say, living it up, yeah.
All right.
I'm singing Ja Rule.
Yeah.
I think that is the sign to call it a day.
Yeah, it's pretty late at night. It's almost like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm going to the gym.
Boom, yeah, boom. I gotta go home. I haven't been home. Like, my grandparents probably think I died. I haven't been home in like 5 days.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they're leaving. They're going to look for you.
They're going to go look for me. He said he was in Chino somewhere. We have to go find him.
He's like, they pull out like their bloodhound.
My aunt's wiener dog.
So I don't think it's how it works, honey. But yeah. So, next week we will have a Guardians of the Galaxy review. We will also... be reviewing Mondo's top 10 places to get tacos in Fontana.
Not really. Is it all going to be like King Taco?
Yeah.
Because they just opened the King Taco here.
Yeah. King Taco is now the latest sponsor of the MemoCast. And the hardest taquerias in Fontana are King Taco, King Taco, King Taco, King Taco, Alberto's, King Taco, King Taco, King Taco.
And that one taco truck.
That taco truck and King Taco.
And honorable mention to those people down on...
The carniceria that do the things on the weekends where they have, like, their little tent and the little guy with the...
Well, I was going to say that one family down on, like, San Bernardino, like, way on the other side of unincorporated Fontana, yeah. They just get out in their front yard and make tacos.
Yeah.
I think I went there once. Like, I was really drunk.
How was it?
I was really drunk, so it was really good. I could have been eating dog meat for all I know.
Hey, we're in Fontana. We're not that bad. But, yeah, all right, so... And King Taco.
Yep. Bye, guys. Time to say goodbye.